The new acquisition approaches are part of a broader effort across the Navy, indeed across DOD, to reduce the department's reliance on fossil fuels. The Navy's dedicated $900 million in funding this year to new tactical and shore-based energy initiatives, but according to Jim Thompson, the Navy's principal deputy assistant secretary for acquisition, funding alternative fuels isn't enough.
Alternative fuels or biofuels and drop-in fuels and so forth, hybrid-electric drive, all those things that we're doing are tremendous, and it really does show us that we can do it. At the end of the day, though, we have to go buy it. So the question for us is, how do we really adjust the way we buy things to accommodate that and build it back into the culture, really.
Thompson speaking at the annual Naval Energy Forum in Washington. First, Thompson says the Navy has to come up with a way for accounting for the cost of fuel over the life cycle of the systems it buys, something it doesn't have right now. The department has told its four major systems commands to come up with a way of calculating the fully burdened cost of energy for systems in a way that's repeatable across the acquisition process. Answers are due back by the end of this month. Thompson says once they have those methods in place, energy efficiency will be a key factor the service uses when it's deciding among vendors in a competition for a new system.
We've decided to make energy performance an evaluation factor in our source selections. That'll be really our default position for major programs and weapons and platform systems that are going through the procurement process and development process. We will have an evaluation factor that includes energy. Notice I didn't say sub-factor. It'll be an evaluation factor, will be our default position. We have some off-ramps if there are reasons not to do that, so we're not putting everybody in a straitjacket, but we do want to make that our default position. Again, it's changing the culture, the way we think about energy.
And energy won't just be a consideration in new systems. When program managers go to Navy acquisition leaders for approval for modernization and sustainment programs, they'll have to bring along plans for energy performance improvements. Joe Decker, the Assistant Deputy Chief of Naval Operations for Logistics, says even though taking into account total cost of ownership, including energy, is commonplace in the private sector, this is all new for the Navy.
Things really are different this time. For many years, major acquisition decisions were based on upfront costs with little regard for the long-term ownership costs. And I would assert also that part of the way we're structured and the way our processes exist probably don't help in that we separated out what we're now calling total ownership costs by who basically manages what monies for the Department of the Navy and even for the Department of Defense because of the appropriation way that the budget is created. So in that regard, in recent years, we've begun to try and get smarter in our approach and take a more holistic view of life cycle costs because we are becoming more cognizant of how acquisition decisions impact the long-term life cycle costs.
Decker says a failure to think about energy in its past acquisitions is now catching up with the Navy. Since it's operating a mature fleet without many new ships coming online, the Navy is stuck with platforms that don't perform as well from an efficiency perspective as they'd like. Keeping up with energy costs is already a huge problem for the Navy.
We find ourselves almost every year in the appropriations process having to get lots of contingency operations money to help us meet our fuel bills. I mean, that's largely how we've survived in recent years is by getting contingency operations money to pay the fuel bills.
The Navy's costs for operating its ships, planes, and helicopters are up across the board. Manpower and maintenance costs have risen significantly, but fuel costs have risen even faster. In the case of the Navy's fixed-wing aircraft, fuel costs went up at 13 times the rate of inflation between the period of 2001 and 2009. And Decker says things will only get worse. She says unless the Navy changes the way it thinks about energy efficiency, those costs will crowd out warfighting capability and force structure. Add to that the fact that the next generation of ships and planes will be even more hungry for energy than the current one. The Navy estimates its future aviation platforms will need 30% more energy than the current ones. Its ships and submarines will need 40% more. Decker says that's because those platforms are becoming more and more dependent on electronic systems. The Navy is having to build bigger ships to house all that gadgetry.
Size of ships are being driven by power, and the power is for systems. So if you take Moore's Law, I mean, we're seeing it every day in what we do. If you look at the new platforms that we're building, they are increasingly more complex from a system standpoint. We're trying to build platforms that are multi-mission, that increase the complexity of the system, therefore increase the requirements for power, which are actually driving the size of the platform. You know, we get ourselves into this big, huge loop of trying to deal with that challenge. So we're going to have to think about these things differently.
Terry Blake, the Deputy Chief of Naval Operations for Integration of Capabilities and Resources, says thinking about things differently has to mean that the Navy designs energy efficiency into its platforms from the ground up.
Historically, saving energy was only thought of as doing it during execution by the commander in the field. Any savings that were achieved by constraining operations, such as reducing the number of steaming days or flying hours during a deployment, were directed by the unit commander to save fuel. What we are now taking, if you will, within the DoD acquisition process is to get it at the front end as opposed to at the back end. So what we're basically being asked to do is to design, if you will, fuel efficiencies in rather than being able to, if you will, force it out at the back end by the commander in the field. From a financial and a warfighting capability perspective, this makes sense, and it should save us significant dollars in the future.
One hurdle to doing energy-efficient acquisition is that it's difficult to score budget savings the Navy will see from energy efficiency years down the road in the current budget process. It's even harder to score increases in mission effectiveness. Ray Mabus, the Secretary of the Navy, says while there are green benefits to what the Navy's doing, it's far from green for green's sake.
We're doing this for one reason, to be better warfighters. There are lots of ancillary things that flow from it, more jobs, cleaner environment, but those are all side effects. We are a military organization, and we're doing this so that we can be a better military organization, so that we can fight better.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.